الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة المتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما مزيدا أما بعد الحمد لله Alhamdulillah starts off by saying Barakallahu Feekum. It's an honor to be here back again after many years with my brothers and my sisters from Trinidad and Tobago. Here, Alhamdulillah, a gathering that I want to really emphasize to make you realize the virtues of this gathering. Do not for one sec think that it is a gathering of mere emptiness, something that may be lacking in how many are here. For verily, we do not know who is accompanying us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soldiers. For indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah sends out angels up onto the earth, and then they go and seek out gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned and remembered. And when these angels find such gatherings, then they come and then they sit. And in a narration it also mentions that they make dua. So we pray first and foremost, Alhamdulillah, that Alhamdulillah, the effort that you have made to come, to sit, and the blessing that you have, which you don't perhaps cannot see clearly with the naked eye, but we as believers believe in the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what he has mentioned and informed us. And he tells us that angels are dispatched, and when they find gatherings where Allah is mentioned, then they will sit and they listen. And in narration, they also make dua for those who are present, seeking forgiveness for those who are present. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of them, that we are the ones that the angels seek forgiveness for. I want to elaborate and continue from yesterday's slight reminder regarding the importance of seeking knowledge and how important this affair is. For verily, someone that possesses knowledge and someone that doesn't possess knowledge, there is a huge difference of how our Lord has mentioned that individual. So reflect upon this, that the one that possesses knowledge, and when we say possess knowledge, we mean the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, the Quran of revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah, which is revelation, and then the knowledge of the Salaf. So there, Allah Himself has emphasized greatly regarding this thing of knowledge and how two people can be different. And this seeking knowledge, coming to the masjid to seek knowledge, going out your way, making that effort, it is something which the Anbiya and the Prophets, they did. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, a great scholar of old, he mentions in a book referred or is called Rihla fi Talab al-Ilm, journeying in the path of seeking knowledge, traveling to seek knowledge. He said, the asal of this, asal meaning that the foundation of this factor of traveling to go to seek knowledge, it starts from the prophets. And then he gave an example of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa, the prophet Moses, Allah mentions in the Quran, قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَى هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ أَن تُعَلَّمَنِي مِمَّا عَلِمْتَ رُشْدًا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding Musa alayhi salatu wa salam traveling to an individual by the name of Khidr. And Khidr was a person that had knowledge, that Allah gave him knowledge. So Musa, he traveled to him. And then he said to him, let me follow you. So he traveled to him to seek knowledge. And he said, let me follow you. Let me accompany you so I may learn from you from which Allah has given you by way of knowledge. So this is the way of the prophets. Even the prophets, they traveled. And Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, that great imam, he said, this is the asl. And the ulama, they mention that the distance that they traveled, they said that Khidr was in Tangiers. Tangiers today is currently known as Morocco. And Moses was in Philistine, in that area of where Palestine is today. This is, they say, Qil, it is said. And he traveled that much of a distance to go and seek knowledge. So I really want to elaborate of how we, after mentioning some proofs today, will make you realize the virtues of seeking knowledge and having knowledge of what is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the messenger has said, that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may yuridillahu bihi khairan yufaqihu fi ddeen. That if Allah wants good for a person, so reflect upon this. If Allah wants good for you, or me, or our sisters, then Allah will give you understanding of His religion. That is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person. Just that hadith itself, I want to focus so you really comprehend and understand that all of us would want to be from those that Allah loves. There's not a single person sitting here today except that he will yearn to be from somebody that his Lord Allah loves. And Allah wants good for him. So what has Allah done? Allah has put a sign. Allah has given us a sign. And that sign is that a person that has understanding of the religion, that has understanding of deen, affairs of knowledge, is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. And the opposite understanding of that, my brothers and my sisters, that if you are not from those, and you can check yourself, view yourself, how am I regarding knowledge? Do I have knowledge? Oh, and there's no harm in not having no knowledge. Don't be put off, because you could be new to Islam and you could be new to start seeking knowledge. But the question is, what are we doing? Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. What are we doing to gain that knowledge? What effort are we making? Now we know what Allah loves. So what are we doing? Alhamdulillah, we've been given the key that Allah loves knowledge. So then the question is, what are we doing now to seek that knowledge? Let me give you a few things how Allah and the Messenger have emphasized regarding the importance of knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah the Most High, in the Quran, He says, indeed, those who fear Allah, meaning fear Allah as He is deserved to be feared, are indeed the people of knowledge. Once again, can you see how Allah has talked about knowledge? So these are some of the benefits that I want you to comprehend. Number one, we said that if Allah wants good for you, then you will have knowledge. So that's one reason that we seek knowledge, that we know that is something pleasing to our Lord. Number two, that the ones that fear Allah, truly fear Allah. And what does fearing Allah mean? Fearing Allah, my brothers and my sisters, it means that you don't fall into haram. You don't fall into the prohibitions. What Allah has made unlawful, you stay away from that. And that will only come around if you have knowledge. So tonight, I want to emphasize as much as I can, first directing the finger to me, and then to my brothers and to my sisters, that we cannot just keep on hearing these words of knowledge and importance of knowledge and not act upon it. If there's one thing that I can leave this island and I would have accomplished with the permission of Allah, that my brothers and my sisters value knowledge, that knowledge which Allah loves, and you start changing your lives daily and giving some time to that knowledge, then alhamdulillah, that will make me a happy man, and that will make, alhamdulillah, your lives better. Because now you're busying yourselves with something which only has goodness and riches in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Once again, look how Allah emphasized with knowledge, that indeed Allah raises in ranks those who believe and those who possess knowledge. Now, when we say raise in ranks, it doesn't mean your status in society. It doesn't mean your financial status. It doesn't mean your lineage, but rather with Allah, you're raised in ranks which Allah will bring about love. The people will have love in their hearts for you. The people will have respect in their hearts for you. And this is all from the fruits of knowledge. So indeed, you will be raised in ranks in this life and in the hereafter. So look at the emphasis that Allah has given knowledge. And not only, I want you to remember this, not only does Allah mention these things regarding the emphasis that is given, each thing that He mentions, there is a fadl that is attached to it. Fadl meaning a great virtue. So if you have understanding of the deen, it is an alama, sign Allah wants good for you. If you're an individual that has knowledge, then the sign, another fadl, you will fear Allah. It will make you want to worship Allah correctly and carry out the commands, and it will make you want to stay away from the wrong. So it will be a shield for you. Having knowledge, you'll be raised in ranks. And this is why Allah, He says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, are those equal? The one that knows and the one that does not know, are they equal? What Allah is trying to say is, you cannot compare the one that has knowledge of the book of Allah and the sunnah to the one that has no knowledge. You can't compare the two. They are in different rankings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, to give you that encouragement, remember, seeking knowledge is an act of worship. So you must be sincere in seeking knowledge. And because it is an act of worship, and you seek the pleasure of Allah in doing an act of worship, there comes reward from it, if it's done correctly. One of those rewards, our Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu bihi ilma." Whoever treads upon this path, seeking knowledge, even if it's little, even if it means that you come to the masjid for a regular lesson, but you equip in yourself. Look, and alhamdulillah, it doesn't have to be here that I'm sitting here just addressing you and you just listen. No, I'll mention it as even as a conversational kind of advice where we're family. Look, anything that you want to do in life, look at the importance you give to learn that trade. So if you want to be a doctor, can you walk into a surgery and just be a doctor and start talking about medicine? Impossible. You yourself will not accept this. You will not accept a person to come and give you judgment about your body and about your sickness and then prescribe medicines to you, except that you know is a person that possesses knowledge in that field. And take any field, take it if you want to, if it's to do with something by way of mechanics, any field, take. You will not accept that service of that person except that you are fully aware that he has knowledge in that field. And he has taken the course to go and study, whether it's university, whether it's school. So what about our deen? What about the deen, the religion, and the studying of our religion, which is the best form of knowledge that there is? Because you know the beauty of this knowledge here? It is different from the knowledge that you have seeking the dunya. The dunya knowledge that you seek will help you in this world, mainly. But the knowledge that you seek regarding your religion, to want to worship Allah correctly, that will help you in this life, and that will likewise help you in the hereafter. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever embarks upon this path, treads upon this path to seek knowledge, Allah will make the path to paradise easy. So that's another point of benefit of why you have to make that effort to want to seek knowledge. Because every one of us in this masjid, we believe we have levels in our iman, in our faith, but all of us believe Allah is our creator. Alaysa kadhalik? Isn't that the case? We all believe Allah is our creator. We have all accepted and we have believed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all that is remaining for us now is to believe and to act upon what they have given us by way of knowledge. And the ultimate goal that we want is paradise. This is why we strive in this life, because we want Jannah, we want paradise. So now we have a tariqa, we have a way. The Messenger's told us now, what's that easy way? What's that shortcut to paradise? Treading upon this path of seeking knowledge. So the scholars have said, man salaka tariqan, whoever embarks upon this path, meaning that he leaves his home, man taraka baytahu wa ahlahu, the one that leaves his home, the one that leaves his family, the one that leaves us relaxing, as you people would say, liming, leave it off to go to give some time for knowledge. And then يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا. What? Why does he do this? Seeking knowledge. So the mashayikh, they say that this shows you that knowledge, when you have to go and seek knowledge, just as the Prophet Moses, he went to seek knowledge, is a clear proof that knowledge will not come to you. Knowledge will not come to your homes. Knowledge will not come merely where in your workplaces, but knowledge will stem and come from those places where knowledge is being spread, the people of knowledge, whether it's by way of your masjid where there are lessons, whether it will be by people that have lessons online or from the trustworthy du'at that are can translate into your language. But sometime or something must be given, effort must be given. And what better place to seek knowledge and in the manner that the Messenger did, in the Prophet's masjid. The Prophet would sit and spread his knowledge and the companions round in the masjid. And indeed, there is a lot of barakah in that. So, Why is seeking knowledge an easy path to Jannah, to paradise? Because of two things. The scholars have said, number one, the seeking of knowledge itself is a path to paradise. That's number one. So the actual seeking of knowledge, that is the actual path to Jannah. Number two, that when you seek knowledge, then your worship becomes easy, because you are clear-sighted of how to worship Allah. And al-ibadah, worship after the mercy of Allah, is what will enter a person into Jannah. So because ilm, knowledge, becomes an easier way for you to worship Allah, because you are aware of what Allah has commanded you to do by way of ibadah. If you're not aware of that, how will you do it? If you don't have knowledge of how to worship Allah, what He has told you to do, then how can you act upon that? Another beautiful fa'idah, benefit, is that the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they lower their wings. Narration spreads their wings out of pleasure for the one that is seeking knowledge. And they also send their salutations, as likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama, they have explained that whenever you hear أن الله يصلي على عباده, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding the salah upon His slaves, and then you have the malaika yusallun, and the malaika, then Abu al-Aliya rahimahullah ta'ala, he explains the difference between the two. So it's important, imperative, that is, when we say that there is salat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His ibad, what does that mean? And what does the salat of the malaika mean? As for the salatullah, then it is thana'uhu alayh inda al-malaika. So when the salat of Allah is upon a slave, it is that Allah is mentioning you fil mal al-a'la, in a lofty abode, as mentioning you in good to the angels. That is the salat of Allah upon the slaves. And when the salat of the malaika, of the angels, du'ahum, it's them making dua for you. So if you seek knowledge, then alhamdulillah, Allah will be mentioning you to people, not to people, to a creation better than me and you, the malaika. Just that, it just reflect upon that. Just reflect that if your name is Ahmed, Yusuf, or whatever name you have, just imagine Allah was to mention you to the malaika, that indeed I am pleased with such and such, or I love such and such. This is the deep thought that you have to be working with, because this is what's going to change your lives. This is what's going to make you leave off that laziness and want to go and seek knowledge when you hear things like this, that perhaps you may be from those that Allah is mentioning. And when you are struggling, or when you are falling short, then you have the aid of the angels making dua for you, saying, oh Allah, seek forgiveness. Seeking forgiveness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. All of this is the importance of knowledge. So then I say, isn't it worth just giving some time every day, just so you can maintain that you're one of these people? Every day. And it doesn't mean you're going to spend hours and hours seeking knowledge, but just make sure that every day you're advancing. Don't let one day go except that you know more than yesterday. Even if it was something small, one verse, one benefit, but make sure every day you are advancing and you are maintaining this level. Also, it is not just the angels that make dua for the students of knowledge. And you know what the beautiful thing is, my brothers and my sisters? You don't have to be a certain type of person. You don't have to have certain criteria to be one of these people. You don't have to be a certain race. You don't have to be a certain age. You don't have to be someone who has wealth or doesn't have wealth. You can be from these people regardless who you are, whatever your background is. The simple fact is, you just take time to learn. And that's the beauty of it. Any one of us can be from these people. Whereas certain other things in life, it's probably impossible for me and you to do. But look at the mercy of Allah. Any one of us can be. Don't look at your background. Don't look at your race. Don't look at your society or your position in society. Any one of us can be one of these individuals. So yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Messenger of Allah, has mentioned not just the angels, but rather all of the creatures upon the earth and all the creatures in the sea are making dua, supplication for the one that seeks knowledge. So this is why Allah has mentioned that the one that has knowledge, do you now understand why Allah mentions in the Quran, هَلْ يَسْتَوَى الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ? Can you compare or are those equal to the one that knows and doesn't know? Look at all of the things that we have mentioned. Another beautiful thing of the one that seeks knowledge, hopefully he will be from these people that the Messenger has mentioned. إِنَّ الْعُلَمَاء وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Indeed, the ulama, the scholars, they are the inheritors of the prophets. What does this mean? People that have knowledge, they are the inheritors of the prophets. Maybe you've heard this many times, but I want to break it down that you fully understand. It's, don't let your mind drift and think it is only khas and specific for those great scholars. Those great scholars of high knowledge, yes, they are definitely amongst them. But anybody that learns upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and takes a portion of what he left behind, then bi-idhnillah, he is also from them. And this is why the ulama, ahl al-hadith, those who study the life of the Messenger, as our brother was mentioning earlier, regarding the sunnah of the Messenger, regarding his speech, his actions, his silent approval. If you dwell in that and learn that, then you will be from the people of hadith. And it will be like you are the companions of the Messenger. If you live his sunnah, and this is the beauty that Allah has blessed this nation, that we can still be close to our Messenger by following his sunnah, even though he's not present. And bi-idhnillah, he will be amongst our midst if Allah blesses us to go to Jannah. Because Ahlul Ilm say, Ahlul Hadith hum Ali Rasul. The people of Hadith, they are the people of the Messenger of Allah. Wa in lam yashabu. Even if they did not accompany him, anfusuhum sahabu. But it's like their souls and their anfus have accompanied him. Why? Because you learn so much about his way, his lifestyle, his guidance, and you adapt it. It's as if for those, he's your companion. And that's how it is. Just look at our lives. Anything that we do, we pray like him. We fast like him. The way we give charity is the way he's taught us. And this is why you'll find, even in our day-to-day speech, whenever we're discussing, we say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, the Messenger said this. The Messenger done this. Oh, no, that's not the way. The Messenger did it this way. Constantly, because if you learn about him, he will be on your tongues. As if for those, he's here. As if for those, he's your companion. This is why the scholars say, the people of hadith, Ali Rasul. They are like the family and the people of the Messenger. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those people. Just like Sheikh Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, many times some scholars reported on him that he would hear a hadith, and without even looking at the chain, and without even looking at the contents of the hadith in detail, he would say, "La, this has the fragrance of the hadith being weak." Why? Because he was that acquainted with the messenger, his life, by having such depth, research and study of his sunnah, it's almost like he became to know his character. Just like, for example, like now, our brother knows his children, or our brother knows his companion. And if something reached his companion and said, "Oh, your brother did such and such," you would say, "No, I don't, that's not from his way." Why? Because you spend so much time with him, you have become acquainted to know how he is. This is how we should be with the messenger, that we study in depth as much as we can. That it's almost like, even though he's not here in his physical presence, it's like he's our companion. Another thing which I try to gather today, proofs that will help us, and myself as well, to give a portion of your life and your day to seeking knowledge. Every single day, have a program. Don't let tomorrow come or tomorrow pass, except that you have now decided that every day I'm going to do something of learning, so you can increase in your knowledge. And here is a hadith to encourage this. The message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there are different ways that you can go to Jannah. One of the hadith that the messenger, he mentions, Al-umratu ila al-umrati kafaratu ma baynahuma wal-hajj al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza ila al-jannah. The messenger, he said, that from one umrah to the other umrah, what is in between is expiation of the sins. Meaning that if you did umrah in January 2017 and then you performed the umrah in January 2018, those sins that incurred in that year, if they're minor sins, will be forgiven by you performing the umrah. It wipes away what happened between the last umrah. Then the messenger went on to say, Al-Hajj al-Mabrur, a Hajj which is mabrur, meaning accepted. You're familiar what Hajj is, yeah? You know what Hajj is? Hajj is the fifth pillar of Islam. Just as we have the testimony, then we have the prayers, then we have the fast, we have zakat, then we have Hajj, where you have to go to Mecca and perform the pilgrimage. That has so much reward that our messenger said, whoever performs Hajj in a manner which is correct, there is no lesser reward except for Jannah itself. What is the significance of me mentioning that now to our lesson tonight? The significance is, and I pray that Allah makes it easy for every one of us that is present here today to perform the Hajj. Ameen. But the reality is that not all of us are going to be able to perform that Hajj due to circumstances. But look at the mercy of Allah, and look at once again at the beauty of knowledge. That even having knowledge, you can receive the same reward as that Hajj. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم الخيرا أو يعلمه كان له كأجر الحاج تام حجته. What a beautiful hadith. The messenger of Allah, he said, whoever comes to a masjid, it doesn't have to be in Mecca or Medina, إلا المسجد, any masjid, he comes and he does not want, except that he wants good, to seek knowledge, or he comes to teach knowledge. So he comes to the masjid with the intention to only want to do good, either by learning or either by teaching. Then the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that he will have the reward of a Hajj, not just any Hajj, Hajj tamma, In the Arabic language, tamma means complete. He will have the reward of a complete Hajj. And that hadith, it is mentioned in Al-Mustadrak of Hakim, and likewise At-Tabarani mentions it in Mu'jam al-Kabir. And Shaykh Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he authenticates that hadith, Hasan al-Sahih. What a beautiful hadith. So just imagine, you come to the masjid to want to learn, or the one that is teaching, and there is no corrupted intention. You're not coming illa khaira. That's the condition. That you're only coming to do something which is good. No corrupted intention. Either to learn or to teach. And you will have the same reward as a Hajj. And we know the tremendous reward of Hajj. All of this, all connected with what? What is it connected to? Huh? Seeking knowledge. So who would have thought before you came here this evening that this thing of you coming here today, this action that you've done by praying and just sitting here waiting to hear something of knowledge, and I'm not saying that I have knowledge, wallah, I'm miskeen faqeer allah, I'm only merely translating what is in front of me. Don't think that I possess that knowledge. But who would have thought, just from that action of you coming, waiting to hear something of Allah's religion, could have so much reward tied to it. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us sincere, that everything that is mentioned here, that we are from those people. Ameen. Also, from the things that also can make you reflect about, I mean, what we've mentioned, for anyone of understanding, anyone of wisdom would know that as from tomorrow, I'm not going to let a single day go and be wasted again. From what we have just heard, the wise man, he will say no. After hearing this, I will be from those that will try to gain all of the rewards from this. And it is something that will save you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-dunya mal'una." Mal'una ma fiha, that this world is cursed, and everything which is inside of this world is cursed, except for dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. This what is taking place now. One of the means, whether it's reading Quran, attending the gatherings where Allah's name is mentioned, that is exempt, that's not cursed. And that which comes and surrounds the remembrance of Allah, or what aids the remembrance of Allah, is not cursed. Then the scholar, and also the one that, the seeker of knowledge. These are the only things that the Messenger said are not cursed. Everything else you refer to as mal'oon, cursed. So this is also a protection for you. Seeking knowledge is the greatest weapon that we have for the one that has understanding. Wallahi, the one that has knowledge of this revelation, he's rich, he's powerful, he has wisdom, far more than what we see out there. But that's only for the one that has understanding. Now, I wish to discuss something regarding a small glimpse into the life of the Salaf. It's just one or two examples of how they valued knowledge and the time they gave for knowledge and the effort they put in seeking knowledge. And then we can compare ourselves, and then you will truly see how we are falling so far behind in that manner. So inshallah, skip a few pages. The ulama say, "Qira'atu fi himmat al-salaf fi tahsil al-ilm." The scholars, they say that if we read about the eagerness and the determination that the Salaf had, the Salaf meaning those that were before us. And when we say Salaf al-Salih, the rightly guided predecessors, more so the three blessed generations. And the three blessed generations are the time of the messenger and his companions, and then the tabi'een, those who took knowledge from the companions of the messenger. They are referred to as the tabi'een. And the atba'a tabi'een, they are the ones that took knowledge from the tabi'een. These are the three blessed generations. Then you have others that follow them in goodness, but these are the main ones. And if you was to look and read about their lifestyles and what they did in seeking knowledge, Tara' al-Ajaib, Shu'ba ibn Hajjaj, he said, يرتحل شهرا من أجل يحصل حديثا كان عنده. This one companion, he traveled the distance of 1 month. 1 month. Traveled to get a hadith which he already knew of. But he wanted a different chain. A chain that he was not in. So for example, let's say I as a narrator of the hadith. So I narrate a hadith to Yusuf. And then Yusuf narrates it to Ahmed. So this is one chain. So then you have the other brother, Muhammad, that comes to me and I narrate to him, and then he narrates to another. That is a different chain. This companion, or shall I say not companion, this great Imam, rahimullah ta'ala, traveled for 1 month just to seek one hadith. Something that me and you would probably not even entertain. And you know what the sad thing is? If you just look behind us there on that shelf, you have books there that are filled with hadith, collected hadith that have made easy for us, that are put in the books. Just there behind you, look. And we don't even have the zeal to even walk from here perhaps 15 to 20 steps to pick up a book and read a hadith and benefit ourselves with one hadith or numerous hadith which are gathered in one book. And yet these individuals, they will travel for 1 month. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, yashtari ba'iran, he would buy a camel to go and travel. Wa yadhhab ila sham, so he from Saudi Arabia would travel to Sham, to the distance of Syria. And he would also be on his riding beast for a month. لِيَسْمَعْ حَدِيثُ wahid, just to hear the same example. Just one hadith that he did not hear from the messenger, but the other companion did. So, if these companions would travel the distance, you know, their traveling is not like our traveling. Theirs was real difficult, on a camel, riding beast, walking through the valleys, whereas we have transport of ease, car, planes. Yet I don't think any one of us would hold important enough to travel just to get one hadith. And this is how these companions were. Imam Ahmad likewise, from a young age, Shaban Sagheeran, he was only a small boy and he would constantly go out seeking knowledge. And the one who is an ayah, a real example, is Abu Hatim al-Razi, a immat al-hadith, an imam of hadith. Wallahi, listen to what he said. أَوْلُ سَنَ خَرَجْتُ فِي طَلَبِ الْحَدِيثِ أَقَمْتُ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ. Listen to this. This is who saying this? Other than you, who else? Abu Hatim, remember that name, Abu Hatim. He said that when I first went out to seek knowledge, أَقَمْتُ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ, I was 7 years old. Ali, how old are you? 8. So Abu Hatim al-Razi was younger than Ali when he first went out to seek knowledge. Only 7 years. And listen to what he said. أحصيت ما مشيت على قدمي زيادة على الألف الفرسق. He said that I counted that I walked on my feet, my bare feet, طيب, a distance of ألف فرسق, 1,000 فرسق. 1 فرسق is 3 miles. 1 فرسق is 3 miles. And he walked 1,000 of them. So how much did he walk? 3,000. Roughly 3,000 miles. And he's the age of 7, seeking knowledge. Then he said afterwards, ثُمَّ تَرَقْتُ الْعُدْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. After, I lost count. I lost count of how much I used to travel. He said, I traveled to Bahrain. Babe, إِلَى مِصر. So from Bahrain, he traveled to Egypt. And then he traveled to Ramla, which is in Philistine. ثُمَّ إِلَى دَمِشْق. Then to Damascus, walking. ثُمَّ أَنْطَاقِيَ. Then, which is currently known as Turkey. I walked to Turkey. ثم طرطوس, which is in Syria, walking. طيب, ثم رجعت إلى الحمص. Then I returned back to Syria. And many mentions he went to Iraq. All of this is something that when we hear, it sounds like a fairy tale. It really does. It's something it is hard for us to comprehend. That how can somebody do so much walking just to seek knowledge? And the latter that he did, he said, هذا في صفر الأول وأنا ابن 20 سنة. So when he started to walk from all of these places, from Egypt to Misr to Egypt, from Sham to in Syria, all these different places he was walking, he was 20 years old. And he, subhanAllah wa ta'ala, is ajeeb. I mean, it doesn't justify me just mentioning him quickly here now. But rather, he needs a whole dars. He needs a whole to give due to what he did in seeking knowledge. We would have to have a whole conference about this man. Traveled great lengths and distances. And some of the Salaf, they will travel. And wallahi, as Imam Ahmad, he mentions that when I went out to seek knowledge and he wanted to go to Yemen, he had no money. So he sold the clothes that he had with him until he had barely anything left. And when he had nothing else to sell, you know what he did? Those caravans and those groups that were traveling, he would say, let me travel with you and I'll be your worker. I will be a khadim, meaning that I will stand at your service. Any jobs and things that you need, then I will do that. And this is what he used to do, just to get to the place of where he wanted to study and take knowledge from. But remember, it doesn't go to waste. It doesn't go to waste. There is not a place on the world, and you're a student of knowledge, or there's gatherings of knowledge and talk about knowledge, except for Imam Ahmad rahimullah and the likes of Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah. For those of you who are new to seeking knowledge, these are perhaps names that don't really mean much to you now, but these are names that when you are going to start and you become advanced in seeking knowledge, these are names that are going to be constantly reoccurring. Because these are great scholars, and their biographies and their knowledge which they left still remains today where we are benefiting. And why is that? Because the sincerity that they had in seeking knowledge. They were sincere. They traveled out not wanting any benefit of the world, but except all of what we mentioned regarding the proofs that Allah is pleased with seeking knowledge. This is what they wanted. And because they wanted that sincerely, this is why their names are still mentioned today. Whereas many others that were greater in wealth, greater in status, you don't hear their names. But you only hear the names of these scholars, because that is something which Allah has blessed them with. because they were sincere and they were mountains of knowledge. And this great Imam, Imam Ahmad, who's referred to as Imam Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is the title that he's received. Look how he sought knowledge. Look what he did to gain that knowledge. Selling his clothes. After selling his clothes, then working, cleaning, doing khidmah, meaning being at service for people, doing their jobs while they're traveling, just so they could get a little bit of money to eat, to survive, to reach his destination, to seek knowledge. So after hearing all of this, then don't you think we should give that much or a little bit more time to seek knowledge? Don't you think in our day that we can find that extra 30 minutes, just 30 minutes, to learn about something that will only benefit you? Wallahi, wallahi, even if you are a poor man, but you possess knowledge, wallahi, you're a rich man. And you're a person that, alhamdulillah, will have virtues in this life and the hereafter. Don't ever think that knowledge is something which is simple. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is something that is a protection against the shaitan, the open enemy to mankind. So inshallah, let today's lesson be this. Don't let a day go, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, that nadimtu, that I used to become remorseful and regretful that the sun would set over me and I did not increase in doing righteous actions. I did not increase in righteous actions can also mean seeking knowledge. And this is Ibn Mas'ud, you need to know who he is, the companion of the Messenger of Allah. This is how they were, the companions of the Messenger of Allah. They are the best of this nation. They are the best by way of fearing Allah and also carrying out righteous actions and staying away from haram. And they said that they would dislike that the sun would set over them, meaning the day would come to an end. That's what it means. And they did not increase in any good. We cannot even be, I mean, I want you to reflect on that statement. If we let a day go, the sun sets, even if we didn't increase in righteous actions, if we just remained at the same level by not falling into sin and not increasing in actions, even that would be an achievement. You know what the sad thing is? You and me, we all know that that sun is setting. Not only did we not increase, we know that we decreased. We know that we fell short, that the sun set and we only added to our sins. So wallahi, wallahi, don't ever downplay knowledge. A humble request from myself, addressing me first, that I need to give more time to this knowledge. And then to my brothers and my sisters that are here present today here in Tobago, and those that are listening online, let this night be a night that will change our future with the permission of Allah. Let it be something that will change, where we all now, from tomorrow, are going to dedicate a time to seek knowledge, to increase knowledge. So every day we are advancing. Every day we are gaining knowledge. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a lot, but just a little bit. Because a big storm, a big sail, as I say in the Arabic language, a big flood that comes, does not come as a flood one time. It starts as a drop. One drop. And then two drops. Then three. And then look how devastating that flood becomes. Then likewise, your knowledge, take a little bit. Little bit. And inshallah, at the end of the year, you will see how much knowledge you have gained. And let that knowledge be not to show off. That's another very imperative point. Don't seek this knowledge just so you can boast, or just so people can turn their heads and say, oh mashallah, he's a knowledgeable man. Because if you seek knowledge just as knowledge is something so virtuous and praiseworthy if it is sought for the wrong intention, then it will have no benefit and it will be something that will be against you. As that hadith, it mentions the first three that will be trialed on the day of judgment, and one of them will be the one that sought knowledge for other than Allah's pleasure, meaning it wasn't, his intentions wasn't clean, but rather he sought knowledge. For يَقُولَ النَّاسِ أَنَّهُ عَالِمٌ أَوْ قَارِي فَقَدْ قِيلٌ, that he only sought knowledge so the people can say, mashallah, he's a knowledgeable person, or he's a very good reciter. And when he stands in front of Allah on the day of judgment, and Allah will question him, and Allah is all aware of what is in his heart and his intention, but still Allah questions him for him to answer, why did you seek knowledge? Allah will say to him, he say, for your pleasure, Allah. And Allah will say, kadhabt, you have lied. Indeed, you sought knowledge so the people could say, you're knowledgeable. And they said it, so meaning, there's your reward. Not with Allah, thrown onto his face and cast it into the hellfire. So it's a dangerous affair. So remember, don't make something which is so praiseworthy and has so much reward become corrupted due to your intention not being sound. So that's a fine line. And perhaps, inshallah, regarding that intention and being sincere in seeking knowledge, inshallah, is for another night. But that is what I could reflect on and mention today. But my strongest call is, and I say, and I make dua to Allah, the one who hears all supplications, the one mujibud dua, who answers all prayers. Oh Allah, make us of those individuals that can give a portion of our lives and our time to seek knowledge. And oh Allah, bless us. Make dua that Allah gives you the tawfiq, meaning gives you the success to learn. For verily, the granting of knowledge doesn't merely come from us putting into effort. Yes, we put in effort, but it still comes with Allah. Because the messenger himself would say in a dua, Rabbi zidni ilma, O Allah, increase me in knowledge. And Allah mentions in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ, fear Allah and Allah will teach you. So this is clear proof that the success of you understanding and attaining knowledge is not just you seeking knowledge, that's a means, but then you must also make dua to Allah that he blesses you with success to gain knowledge and to act upon it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Naktafi bihadha al-qadr. Aquli qawli hadha. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Fastaghfiruhu. Innahu al-ghafur rahim.